What's up, y'all? Yeah, it's the Fat Mac Baby, the Almighty 3XL, coming at y'all live and direct from MacCity.com and Mac City Limits. You know how we do. Well, actually, maybe you don't know how we do, and I'm really gonna throw y'all motherfuckers for a loop today, cause I'm gonna do something a little different. I was prompted to do this cause I was fucking around on World Star Hip Hop. I don't know, about a week ago. Nah, it's not even a week ago. Shit, maybe it's like two or three days ago. I'm sorry. But I came across video with a brother on there, man, who I have not heard from in a long time. He's from one of my favorite rap crews of all time, PRT. Poor Righteous Teachers. Of course, a lot of you young heads out there don't know shit about no PRT, Poor Righteous Teachers, man. But my nigga Wise Intelligent, who was the lead rapper in PRT, was dropping some serious ass shit, man. I don't know where he was at and what prompted him to speak on this, but basically he was talking about some old knowledge type shit, man. Shit that I don't hear too often, man. And it made me hearken or think back to man, my heyday, man. Me coming up in the golden age of hip hop, where, you know, you had X-Clan, Public Enemy, Poor Righteous Teachers. Who else, man? Who else was really dropping some shit back then, man? Like I said, Rakim. You know, everybody that was really kicking some really powerful, enlightening ass shit, man. And it just made me nostalgic. It made me homesick, man. I just went through and I have a whole bunch of tapes, man, of me doing some old radical ass shit back in when I had a public access TV show. And I'm trying to remember. I think I started doing that shit back in like 1994. And you know, ever since I was 18, man, I was always rotating with the Gods and Earths. You know, the 5% nation of Islam, Nubian Islamic Hebrews, you know, studying up on theosophy. It was real deep into all that shit, man. And there's not too much of that shit going on. And I mean, I don't know which came first, the chicken or the egg. I mean, can you blame hip hop for it? Or, you know, is society a reflection of hip hop, or is hip hop a reflection of society? Because like I said, back in the day, there was a whole bunch of brothers, man, that was kicking some really high powered shit. Nowadays, with the youth today, nigga, it's all bad. Ain't nobody really talking about shit, man. So, I mean, not to knock my young brothers out there, my young hustlers and shit, but you know, like I said, it just made me homesick, man. It just made me nostalgic. It made me want to go back in time. So I dug up some tapes of me talking cash shit, right? And please don't get offended with this shit that I'm kicking, man. Like I said, I was young back. I really wasn't that young, but still, I've grown up, and I basically I've left that sort of shit at the door. You know, if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense right about now. I've learned that trying to be the savior or trying to be the messiah, that don't work, man. Because only thing that happens when you're trying to be the messiah or the savior or the prophet is you get killed. And the motherfuckers that kill you is your own people. So I basically said, fuck trying to inform, fuck trying to enlighten. You know what I mean? I'm going to just go ahead and get mines and shit. So, but yet and still, even though you do that shit, you know, it's still, you know, you still got to educate yourself. You still got to know what's going on. Keep yourself abreast of current events and shit. And hip hop back in the day helped me do that. The hip hop of today does not do that. It's just all party and all kicking it all material shit. You know what I mean? And once again, I know this seems like a conflict of interest due to the fact that I'm a pornographer. And of course, pornographers are supposed to just be on some dumb shit, but nothing could be further from the truth. I come from some deep shit, man. And as a matter of fact, when you hear me dropping what the fuck I'm dropping in, what the fuck I'm kicking, right, you can hear the seeds of Mac City, man. Because in me speaking on the subject that I'm speaking on, I mean, you can basically hear me talking about goods and services. You can hear me talking about, you know, how the church and how religion does its macking. And I mean, you're going to hear a lot of shit in there that I have actually used and I've actually implemented in my quest for domination with these females and shit. You know what I mean? So, So that's what we're going to do today, man. We're going to take a trip back in time, man. We're going to listen to some of my gobbledygook when I was basically speaking on integration and the church and religious bigotry, Christian bigotry, because I had a big problem with the church back in the day. And really, it came off wrong. Really, it should have been religion as a whole, but it was always the Christians that was always in my face trying to fuck with me, right? So I was always coming out guns blazing on these niggas to get them up out my goddamn face, you feel me? So, and then we're going to have an excerpt of my nigga Wise Intelligent from Poor Righteous Teachers. And he's going to be dropping about 6 or 7 minute lingo on hip hop and it's, you know, how it's in a state of emergency and how the government has always used this little trick of bait and switch with the youth as far as I'm not going to get into it. I'm going to let him explain it and shit. And, you know, I'm going to hit y'all with some DSR, some Dark Sun Riders for my nigga Brother Jay, who was the lead rapper in X-Clan. Know what I mean? So, yeah, we're going to, yeah, it is what it is, man. Like I said, we're going to take, it's going to be retro, man. We're going to do some retro radical ass shit. My apologies to everyone who I may offend with my tirade about the church and about religion and all that kind of shit. I still hold those views, but right about now, I really just don't give a fuck about any of that shit on the real. You know what I mean? So, like I said, the Savior, the Prophet, always gets killed and crucified by his own people. And I'd be goddamn if I give any of y'all niggas a chance to fuck with me on some shit because I'm trying to enlighten and educate you. You feel what I'm saying? But I'm just going ahead and throw this shit on out here, right? Because, I mean, I'm not trying to change your views, not trying to change your opinion. After 6-7 years of doing a public access TV show, I know better than that shit. I'm just posting this shit for shits and giggles just to let y'all know, you know, that I'm not an idiot. You know, I come from sterner stuff. I come from deeper stuff. And I just don't want y'all to judge books by their covers, man. Whenever you meet a nigga in the streets, don't be blinded by, you know, first appearances, man. Or first impressions sometimes and shit. Because there's a lot of motherfuckers out there that's thoroughly sleep on me. You feel me? Thoroughly sleep. And also, I just want to give everybody that's in my profession, right, a little bit better. I want to give folks a little bit better view. Or a little bit better opinion of individuals who may be in my profession. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, because those are stereotypes that come along with what the fuck I do. A lot of people don't. You know, a lot of people don't. Anyway, man, like I said, ain't no particular reason why I'm doing this shit. Really, I'm just stroking my own fucking ego because I think I'm the shit. Matter of fact, I know I'm the shit. God damn it. Yeah. Shit. Assalamu alaikum. Remember that? Everybody would say assalamu alaikum and shit to prove that they was deep. You know what I'm saying? Back in the day, everybody wearing the African medallions and shit. Assalamu alaikum, my brother. Ooh, he's deep. Ooh. Wow, you're deep. wa alaikum salam, my brother. Oh my God, man. Oh, I miss them days, man. That was fun. Anyway, yeah, well, that's what's up, man. The Fat Mac Almighty 3XL coming at y'all live direct. And this is some old retro shit, man. So y'all go ahead, fuck with it. I'm out.
So yes, yes, now to the rhythm of God's, come on in. Now what it was, what it is, and again shall be. Where we headed? So yes, yes, now dark sun and gloom to come along now. Yes, yes, now to come on. It's the revival of the roar in the rucket. The resurrection of the extremely bucket. The raw technique spitting the total beat hugging. Throw a coin to the bucket cause I'm on for the fucking. My mind's beyond guard, my thinking's from the east. Creator's got the plan and I got to kick my piece. I kick it amongst the gods like the G.O. to the D. Gorillas of all demean, now come see we. The rollers and riders come feel the spell. Circles trying to kill with more skills than rolling L's. As you get bent, I get prepared for a sense. Son, I'm traveling the soul while you're boxed and repent. And then you wanna ask Bro G, what's the math? To scroll and chisel up MC's epitaphs. Overall dominion, life force conducts. Revival of the rugged, divine force of funk. Where we headed? Yes, yes, y'all. To the rhythm of God's, come on in. Now what it was, what it is, and again shall be. Now where we headed?
sarcophagi. Release these preservers with roots to do or die. No corners, table around within my order. Representing scales of life, go ask your fathers. What is light? Sense of being. Superseding systematic poison feeding. These simple principles and manners they put down. That's why Similac drinkers think they run the upper house. As I contact these gentlemen with the paddles, send these adolescents with their duckies on the waddle. There's no entertainment, hip boots or drag hoes. Roots and cultures, war scars through my nose. Banging rock heads, Mr. J. Slater. Black terror, flesh Darth Vader. Only bite my tongue when I rock the crossfader. Respect to the levels dim, we're to see you later. Where we headed? So yes, yes, y'all, and groove the storm will come along in. What it was, what it is, and again shall be. Now where we headed? So yes, yes, now, zone will just groove. Now check it out now. The revival, so come on. To the east, I'm teaching gods to flow. I got more poetic flows than the Negro Cerrado. And knowledge, I'm coming from the Zone Priest College. Zenith up my set so my armor spit polish. Light bleeding, seeping through pores as I'm feeding off the energies of original graffiti. Planetary studies so my earth won't smudge me. Simple mind stepper for their mental autopsies. Triple big eye, sight through the fold of the blind. I keep it like this at all times. Golden papyrus, diamond and stylus as I pinnacle the temple of the B-O-I-D. Rugged man revival, searching through the craters, equator, swimming through the attributes, creator. These commandments she heed to learn. Once you look into the east, to reverse is to burn. Where we headed? Yes, yes, y'all. Pure rhythm and groove are coming on, man. Now what it was, what it is, and again shall be. Now where we headed?
Else to do it. Everybody talks about the good side of religion, but nobody wants to deal with the dark, the evil, the seedy side, right? And due to the fact, like I told y'all before, I do not equate today's church with El Messiah Yahshua or Isa Ibn Maryam. You know, I don't associate the church with him, so really, you can consider me blaspheming all you want, punk, but to me, I mean, this ain't nothing but a weak, lame carbon copy of what the Messiah brought anyway. That is, if you believe in a literal Messiah instead of an archetype. So I'm going ahead, I'm doing my thing on the TV. A lot of people get miffed. And then, you know, some Negroes, you know, be timing to me and they be like, well, aren't you grateful that we had the civil rights struggle? And if you're grateful that we had the civil rights struggle, and if you're grateful that you could vote, then you should love and you should appreciate the church, because it was through the church that you were allowed to vote and you were to be treated like a human being and blah, you know, all this nonsense, right? And so I'm saying to myself, these black folks really don't have any kind of understanding of history whatsoever, evidently. You know, I want to give you an analogy, right, first, before I go ahead and I tear that to pieces. What if you come home one day and you find out all your shit was gone, man? You know, your stereo, your VCR, your computer, your jewelry, your silverware, I mean, TVs, I mean, everything gone. You got looted, you know what I mean? And then about 2 weeks later, the dude that looted you came back and gave you back your silverware. He's feeling guilty now. He gives you back your silverware, but he took all your other stuff and sold it, got rich. You know what I'm saying? So what should you do? Should you be grateful that he brought your silverware back? Should you kiss him? Should you kill him? What should you do? Huh? Are y'all hearing me? Yeah. So somebody stole something from you, took a lot, Then they all of a sudden they want to get a damn conscience. They want to bring back your damn silverware, and then they expect you to kiss their ass. Are you feeling this? Well, basically that's what the church did. The church was instrumental in taking the fundamental, quote unquote, God-given rights of colored people, Indians, Eskimos, Hawaiians, Aborigines, Africans, blah, 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 you know, the missionary deal going around, converting the heathens and whatnot, making the people of color, should I say, merge into Eurocentric culture and therefore destroying people of color's culture and basically treating them like second-class citizens. And now all of a sudden, in the 60s, you know, 50s and 60s, the black church in particular, along with a Jewish underground movement, right, they go ahead and be like, okay, Negro, we're going to give you a little taste of what you should have had a long time ago, but not that much. So then you get these Negroes on the street singing and buck dancing and talking about how great the church is, when in fact it was the church that got their rights took in the first place. And look, I'm not even going into the history of it, because really all you have to do is, I mean, just go to the library, man, look up history, look up the Vatican, look, I mean, the information is there. Information is there, okay, about the slave trade, how it kicked off, who kicked it off, and what, and who got rich off of it, all right? You'll find that the church was in the thick of it, and they were the main catalyst. So I mean, hear these people popping off at the mouth, you know, you should be thankful for your rights and the civil rights struggle in the church. You're like, Negro, please, you don't know what the hell you talking about. They don't have a clue. And another thing, man, you know, y'all seem to think that integration was the best thing since hotcakes, you know what I mean? Wrong. Super wrong. See, people, church folks have been so easily duped. It's like, you know, when you join a church, a lot of times it just seems like you surrender your reasoning faculties at the door. You know what I'm saying? So if somebody puts something in front of you, right? I mean, you basically see what it is, but you don't really see behind that thing. You know what I mean? You don't read between the lines. You don't go deeper. You know what I mean? You're always, you know, looking at the surface of things. You know, when you're looking at a dead letter philosophical system. So, you know, of course, during the 50s and 60s, you know, we had a lot of black movement going on, black nationalism, Nation of Islam, what's that, Black Panther Party, Move, Mau Mau's, Pan-Africanism, you know, you name it, we was doing it, man. We was getting busy trying to basically have our own stuff. And, you know, we had our own things. You know, during the 50s, we had our own schools, own businesses, barbershops, stores. Granted, they were substandard, some of them, but they were ours, and we could build upon that, and we could have became a nation that produced. Right? But then all of a sudden, what happens? The government basically says, okay, Negro, we'll let you sit on the same toilet with white folks. We'll let you drink from the same water fountain. Hey, we'll let you work side by side, right? And so what does the Negro do, the Negro mentality do? They, you know, they think white ice is colder ice, so they drop everything they do, and they run over to where the white folks is at, okay? You understand what I'm saying? We totally integrated. We left what we was doing, and then we went to work for white folks. We dropped everything. So now what you have is a trick. You see the trick? Huh, do you? Well, basically, that was the trick to get us hooked on white liberalism. Get us hooked on handouts. Okay? Do you understand that? We had our own stuff. Building the empire, slowly but surely. All of a sudden, integration comes in. Says, hey, you don't have to do that. Come over here. We'll take care of you. You know, hey, we got all these programs. We got this welfare program. We got this affirmative action. We got this, that, and the other. You know, we'll take care of you. We did that. Now we are dependent upon other people. Do you see that? Huh? The church is popping off at the mouth about how they made America great, how they made black people on an equal par with white folks. No, you didn't. You made it worse. You know, there's a lot of white folks out there that are really tired of black folks trying to so-called milk the system. You know, tired of us whining and begging and complaining. And, you know, we want, you know, especially this always fascinates me, right? When we don't have jobs, you know, we go protest and we tell other people that they have to give us jobs. Do y'all hear that? We protest. We like, look, we want jobs. We don't create jobs. We basically say, we want you to hire us and give us jobs. Now, I'm probably going to catch some flack for this, right? But I got to represent. I got to keep it real. For me, if I go to the Deep South or whatever, and I walk into a diner or a bar, you know, and it might be of the redneck persuasion, and if Billy Bob don't want to serve Big Mike, hey, I think that's a prerogative. If he own that establishment and he don't like black folks, he don't want me in there, I'm not going to stay there and eat and drink in that spot. You know what I'm saying? If he don't want me, that's his spot, right? That's his joint, right? Right? Okay. I don't believe the government should have the right to tell anybody who they should have to serve, who they should have to cater to, or who they can hire. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that. But due to the fact that we have this system where we're dependent upon whites and we're dependent upon white liberalism, you know, that's the only way, that's the only avenue we have. Because we don't have our own stuff. Because we got tricked in the 50s and the 60s of dropping all that shit with integration. So we, you know, damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because see, if we had our own stuff, what would happen? See, if I went to the diner, if I went to the bar with redneck Billy Bob and he does not want me to eat there, well, I'd be like, well, damn you, I got my own restaurant. I got my own diner. Why do I need to go over there and eat with you for? Right? But when you have diners and clubs and restaurants that are all white, what kind of choice does that leave? What kind of alternative does that leave you, huh? Huh? So now you mad because you don't have nowhere to eat. Master won't let me in to eat. Why you being mean to me, Master? Because you need to get your own shit and stop begging other people. Man, oh boy. So integration was a trick. The church got tricked. Y'all got tricked into becoming more dependent upon whites and being more dependent. This might be branded anti-Semitic, but this underground Zionist movement in the so-called Jewish religion, right, was, should I say, was the mastermind behind that, right? Yeah, eliminated, you know, crippled the Nation of Islam, crippled the Black Panther Party, all these black organizations that were working for the betterment and the liberation of black people so we could become a respected people were systematically, like, dismantled. Okay, the Nation, thank goodness they're still hanging around, they're still hanging in there. But I just thought I'd spill that for those so-called Christian folk, and I say so-called Christian folk because I don't really, you know, equate what y'all doing today with the Messiah. But hey, you know, teach his own. Each, you know, we all have our opinions and they're all subject to different interpretations. But I don't think that y'all really seen the big picture here about the church, the integration, the civil rights. It's a big, massive chess game. Your head games have been played. Black folks have been played, and the main instrument that's been used to play black folks is the church, no doubt. So I say emphatically to you that the church, I don't give the church any accolades for so-called giving black people rights, because that was the main tool, that was the main thing that was used to take rights from people of color in the first damn place. So if the church has a damn complex now or has a guilty conscience and they want to go ahead and give me some crumbs, right, when they took the whole meal in the first place, they can kiss my ass. Also, should I say, the civil rights, the integration deal, okay, about us going around begging white folks, can we please be with you? I mean, that's a sick damn mind state. Sick. Sick, sick, sick. So, you relinquished all your power right there. So, you know, Big Mike is not pro-integration or anti-integration or anti-segregation or pro-segregation, whatever. I believe that we should have our own stuff, right? So we should have the option of saying, okay, we can kick it with you or we won't. Period. Like everybody else. Everybody got their own stuff, but black folks. But y'all still up in that church, hallelujah, and jumping up and down, doing backflips, somersaults, moonwalking, you know, hey, windmills. you know. But yet, you know, people like me, you know, are somehow demented and crazy. Well, anyway, I got ahead and I went ahead and dropped that. Y'all take that or leave it. You know, go ahead. Yeah, put the phone down. Man, oh man. Go take a break. Gotta give me a little drink of water, get a drizzling. I'll be back in a few.
You know, a lot of what he's saying is actual fact. You know, it's actual fact. Yet it also speaks to the environment in which we are embedded as young black males and females in this particular society. You know, hip-hop changing from positive to negative was not a consequence of history. It was not a circumstance of history. It was nothing that just happened on its own. It had nothing to do with the changing of the times. It had nothing to do with that. It had everything to do with the fact that there are people in this particular society who wants to see us exactly where we are. And we have to, we cannot elude that, let that point elude us. These are the facts. How do we know? 1967, Kerner Commission report on urban disorder. When black people said, yo, we're tired of this system. You know what I mean? This system is oppressing us. So we rebelled against the system. We burned things. We said, yo, we had enough. He did his little report on what caused these riots. He said, what caused these riots? He said it was young children who started these riots, and what was motivating them was a high self-esteem and an enhanced racial pride.
Go ahead.
He said the majority of the rioters were high school dropouts, but they had a higher political orientation than their peers who did not drop out. And they saw the system as their enemy, so they attacked it in the right circumstance. So, fast forward to 1992. Same thing. Number one record on the radio, we had Fight the Power. Fight the Power is on the radio. Rodney King is beaten before the world. The black youth rebelled against the system. Again, they did it again. And why? What primed them? Positive hip hop primed them. Fight the Power, X-Clan, Brand Nubian. You had these groups out here who were pushing, who were politically orienting black kids in the right direction, giving them the proper prompts that they needed so that they can respond properly to oppression. Alright? In 1967, when the riots happened, he saw that the self-esteem and the racial pride was fueling this. So he said, how do I bring that down so that they will not riot? And what he did, he flooded the airwaves with black exploitation movies. Nigga Charlie and the Return of Nigga Charlie. These right. were movies. Hip-hop didn't start calling people niggas. We had Shaft. We had Coffee. Black girl turned prostitute to do whatever. You know what I mean? But these black exploitation movies brought down the self-esteem and the racial pride so that the kids will not rebel against this system of oppression. 92, the racial pride was back in effect. We had black kids going to Dr. Ben Yuckinen lectures. We were spending our money to go see Farrakhan speak as opposed to going to a strip club. This is where we were. The most coveted article of clothing was a historically black college or university sweater.
That's right.
We were motivating children towards positive attitudes and lifestyles.
That's right.
And when Rodney King got the beating, has responded properly. Fast forward to our day. Sean Bell is shot 50 times in the street in New York by police officers. Number one song on the radio, Like a Lollipop. Nobody do nothing. Nobody respond to nothing. Trust me. Trust me. Just like the brother, I believe it was JT, the bigger figure, who said that the label executives came to him and said, yo, brother, we need you talking about guns and whores. You know what I mean?
That's right.
That happens. I've been in those meetings with management and had to ask me, is what you're saying really what you believe so that we'll know how to market you properly? You know what I mean? This happens. Young Buck on his album, he has a song on his album that talks about police terrorism. The label said absolutely not. Jimmy Iovine said absolutely not. You cannot put that record on the album because it might create an atmosphere that might put police officers' lives in danger.
Right.
So they took the record off, but they let him keep the other 14 songs on the album that talked about killing black youth. So this is what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a circumstance or consequence of history. You know what I mean? The environment that we're embedded in puts us in a situation where we feel we have to maneuver and play the game and water our message down. You know what I mean? But no, what happened was they intentionally shifted the paradigm to get us exactly where we are right now. Right now, we're feeding the prison industrial complex right now. Our kids are going to prison because they're promoting these records. They're promoting these records daily that sent us to jail. You know what I mean? It's cool to go to jail. You know what I mean? They glorifying these things. And it's not the black youth. We're in a position where we get, like the brother said, the choice. You know, he said, yo, I chose the positive, so I didn't do it. But every youth is not going to take that route. I know I come from the projects, grew up in the projects all my life. You know what I mean? And we're not turning down $500,000 to say nigga. We're not going to do it because we won't turn down $200 to take a package of crack from one corner to the next. I mean, we live in a state of poverty and want of all things. So it's hard for us to make that. Our judgment is clouded. And they knew that the judgment would be even more clouded if they took groups like X-Clan off the radio. This is just what it is. And until we start to deal with the environment that's shaping the behavior, we'll never get to the next level. We have to confront that. Please.
For the next pistol whipping segment, I would like to read a little something I download off the internet. Being the internet like this, man. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like this. I'm surfing it daily. So, you know, I downloaded something. It's called this little article on Christian bigotry, you know what I'm saying? Because we're all familiar with sexism and racism and classism, you know, that kind of bigotry. But we're not too up on Christian bigotry. You know, so I want to go ahead and read this right here to help y'all understand where Big Mike is coming from. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of y'all haven't really figured me out yet. Because I'm actually a swell guy. Yeah, but you know, a lot of these religious folks been pissing me off. So I got to go ahead and chin check them. So here we go. This article is called Christian Bigotry. Here we go. Although Christianity does have its good points, the exclusive nature of many Christian sects opens the door to Christian bigotry. Christian bigotry is a disgusting and insidious evil. To Christian bigots themselves, their bigotry is usually invisible. It disguises itself as piety and righteousness. But to non-Christians, at the receiving end, it is often plain old, unadulterated bigotry. Christian bigotry manifests itself as a holier-than-thou attitude towards non-Christians. The Christian bigot has in his or her head the idea, I must be right and you must be wrong because I'm a Christian and you're not. After all, only Christians can know God. The doctrine common among many Christians that you can know God only through the mediation of Christ leads many Christians to think that they have a special connection to God that non-Christians lack, leading them to think that they have God's special favor and non-Christians don't. This fuels an elitist attitude that can lead directly to bigotry. You follow me so far, okay? Here we go. What is bigotry in general? And how is Christian bigotry bigotry? A bigot is someone who derives a sense of superiority from believing that he is a member of some elite group that is superior to other groups. Bigotry is the all-encompassing term for such things as racism, sexism, homophobia, and etc. White supremacists, for example, believe that white people are superior to blacks, Native Americans, Indians, and etc. Some even believe that other races are minions of the devil. Male chauvinists often believe that women can't think straight or are less intelligent or are more prone to hysteria or whatever. Homophobes think that homosexuals are immoral deviants. It is worth mentioning that the other forms of bigotry often appeal to religion to justify themselves. Anti-Semitism is fueled by the belief that Jews killed Jesus. Men may claim superiority over women because it was Eve who seduced Adam into disobeying God. Homophobes may justify their hatred of homosexuals by finding condemnation of homosexuality in the Bible. So bigotry and religious justification for bigotry often go hand in hand. It should be no surprise then that there are many religious bigots in the world. Among Christians, Christian bigotry is bound to be the most common variety of bigotry. It has a stronger foothold in Christianity than any other kind of bigotry does. In the pulpit, Christian preachers will be more likely to condemn all other kinds of bigotry, racism, sexism, classism, etc. There is biblical support for the claim that Jews and Gentiles, blacks and whites, and men and women are all equal in the God's eyes, so the preacher would say. But preachers are unlikely to tell their congregations that non-Christians can be just as good as Christians, and that non-Christians and Christians are equal in God's eyes. Such heresy would probably get a minister booted out of his church. Now, why would they do that? Okay, well, due to the fact that Christianity is a man-made religion, I know a lot of you are still on this, you know, purple leprechaun came down and did stuff and miraculously sprinkled some dust on some guy to make him, you know, Holy Spirit, some stuff like that, right? But, you know, you go ahead and do the mathematics, you go ahead and do the research, right? You'll find that your Bible, that your religion, that your dogmatic practices, your rituals, or whatever, they're not original and they aren't Christian. You know what I mean? So they're not divine as you would call them because they really have heathen origins. So, I mean, why would a Christian, right, who, a Christian preacher, a pastor, basically condemn all these other types of bigotries, right, but yet still foster this type of bigotry, which they don't call it bigotry. No, well, the truth is just the truth, mister. Either you're going to hell or you're going to heaven, and God said that if you do not do this, if you're not washed in the blood, if you aren't sanctified, you know, the rhetoric, right? But, you know, it's really just all about power, you know what I'm saying? It's all about, I've got this piece of the pie right here, right? In order for me to maintain this piece of the pie, then I have to have consumers, all right? You know, everything is predicated upon producing and consuming, right? The preacher, the pastor, he is a producer, right? He produces basically, to me, nonsense, right? But he has a congregation which basically pays him, right? It's a power move, and they consume. So in order for him to maintain his power base, maintain his Lucci, his Skrilla, his cheddar, he has to tell you, look, Christianity is the only way to go, baby. I'm trying to tell you, all these other suckers, they lost, them Buddhists, them damn Muslims, them all these other suckers, they going straight to hell. I'm trying to tell you, they going to hell. You the only ones going to heaven. You the one going to be sitting pretty on Judgment Day. All these other fools messing around with this damn Muhammad, this damn Buddha, this damn Krishna, all they going to hell. I'm trying to tell you know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's really funny, man. You know, the more things change, the more things stay the same. It's really basically just a power move. See, when Big Mike get on here, and when I'm spilling what I spill, I'm speaking for Big Mike. I'm telling you what I think. I'm not trying to sell you no dreams. I'm not going to tell you that I'm speaking for Shango or Odin or Yahweh or Allah. Or I'm not, you know, this is just my spiel, how I see things, right? A lot of y'all have been lulled to sleep, you know, whenever a preacher says, well, God said this, or God told me to tell you this, right? No, none of that. So, I'm just trying to tell y'all, man, that it's basically a power move, right? See, if he tells you that, hey, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, witches, Wiccans, whatever, you know, if all these other people are just as good or are seen equal in God's eyes with the Christian, right? If God sees everybody as children of God, regardless of what faith they claim, then there's no need to be a Christian, now, is it? Huh? There's no need to be a Christian. If there's no need to be a Christian, then there's no need to be in church. And if there's no need to be in church, then there's no need to tithe. So, yeah, they'll speak readily about, you know, bigotry on certain levels, sexism, racism, classism, blah, blah, blah. But when it comes to religious bigotry, okay, them seeing themselves superior to other religions, other philosophies, other sects, it's a totally different story. You know why? Because it's politics and it's money. See, Big Mike, I don't want your vote. I'm not running for office, and I'm not in a church. I'm not a pastor. I don't have a congregation, so I don't want your money. I don't want your tithe. You know what I'm saying? So when you have money getting mixed up in this thing, right? It tends to pervert it and distort it. So I'm going to go ahead and get off that a little bit, right? I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to keep reading because there's more things to be read. So it's common among Christians to believe that Christians are better than other people. This belief can easily lead to bigotry and to prejudicial behavior toward non-Christians. What are the ways that Christian bigotry manifests itself? There is the holier-than-thou attitude that I mentioned previously. There is also a misplaced sense of Christian charity that leads Christians to believe it's their duty to convince others to become Christians. There is the refusal to recognize the worth of other people's religious beliefs. There's the belief manifested in the Crusades, in the Roman conquest of Europe, and the European conquest of America, and etc., that it is our mandate from God to Christianize the heathens, even if it means slaughtering them. There's the sentiment among the Christian right in the USA that it is our mandate from God to make this a Christian nation. It is all bigotry, and it is all evil. So it's common among Christians to believe that Christians are better than other people. This belief can easily lead to bigotry and to the prejudicial behavior towards non-Christians. What are the ways that Christian bigotry manifests itself? There is the holier-than-thou attitude that I mentioned previously. There is also a misplaced sense of Christian charity that leads Christians to believe it's their duty to convince others to become Christians. I gotta go ahead and underline that and highlight that one. That's the main crux of the problem. It's the main reason I do this show. Because busters always talking yin-yang about something they don't know nothing about. You know, I always got some fool coming up to me, "Chad, are you saved?" Well, see, you're not saved. You need to come to this church. And then, we're going to get you. Look, Negro, you know you got a lot of nerve prancing around here talking about you going to save somebody, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You ain't going to save nobody. Okay? You don't have the power to help save nobody. Not even your little religion, which you have faith in. Now, if you have faith in it, it's going to work. You know, you can have faith in little purple leprechauns, man. If you genuinely have faith in something, the mind is a powerful tool. If you think about something hard enough, if you truly believe in something, the mind will make it happen. Okay, so really, whatever hardship you had in life, you know, maybe you was weak, maybe you was dumb enough to get hooked on drugs, maybe you was dumb enough to go ahead and do something that was ill and, you know, threw your life all out of whack, and then you got into a religion, you had faith in it, and it turned you around 180, okay? That's fine and dandy, right? But these people coming up talking about being saved, you know, you got a lot of nerve talking about somebody being lost, number one. For the fact that you implying that you saved, then you implying that somebody else is lost. It's not into what you into. Now, how do you come to that conclusion? Huh? See, when these people come to Big Mike, right, and they don't really do that anymore. I mean, they used to do that way back in the day, you know, when I was up and coming neophyte, right? But even then, I was kind of cold with it, right? But see, the best way to figure out, or should I say the best way to shut these chumps up, right, is to ask them questions about something else. So they come to you and they ask you, they say, "Are you saved?" And then you tell them, "Well, I guess I am," you know. Then they ask you, "Well, what church you go to?" Then you'd be like, "Well, I don't go to church and I'm not affiliated with the Christian religion." Then they tell you that you can't be saved. So basically what they're saying is their religion is all that in a bag of chips, and yours is basically, you know, it's a, you know, filthy rags, man. It's nothing. It's like a wet food stamp. So then you ask them, you're like, "Well, how do you come to this conclusion? What do you know about my religion? What do you know about my philosophy?" Okay, 99.9% of them won't know jack about what you into, whether you be a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Rosicrucian, or a Theosophist, or, you know, whatever philosophy you may get into, whatever you may cling to, right? These suckers come up to you talking about they saved and you lost. You ask them about what they know about what you into, they won't know. Now, see, you expose them for the fool that they are, because for them to profess to know the truth, they must know what is false. And if they say that their religion is true, right, then they're saying your religion is false. And if they can't tell you a damn thing about your religion or your philosophy or your way of life, tripping their damn food because they don't know if it's false or true. Because they don't know nothing, right? Right. Ask about the Bhagavad Gita, the five baskets of Buddha Zen, the Book of the Dead. You know, ask them about the Zohar. Okay? Ask them about the Quran. Ask, you know, and I'm saying, by no means am I saying that Christian bigotry or bigotry is only in Christianity, but what I'm saying is these are the people that I run into, right? So those are the people that's getting the pistol weapons. But Muslims can be, there can be Muslim bigotry, there can be Jewish bigotry, there can be all that. So basically what I'm saying is people come up to you professing they saved, but yet still don't know a damn thing about anything else. You have exposed them for the fool that they are. And I'll tell you what, don't even bother with small potatoes. I'll tell you that. Matter of fact, if you are church folk right now, you watching this TV, and you're kind of salty at Big Mike, right? Or you may be pitying me, or you may be praying for me, which is another form of Christian gobbledygook egotism. Like, you're going to pray for, like, who the hell are you? You got nerve talking about you going to pray for somebody. Anyway, let me continue what I'm saying. Let's go straight to the head honcho. Let's go straight to the pastor, the preacher man, okay? Because, of course, basically his thoughts, his ideas are basically his congregation's churches or his congregation's thoughts and ideas. So, basically what they're getting is from him. You know, the church is a reflection of the pastor, whether y'all want to believe it or not. So, he's basically stating, you know, we Christians are saved. Everybody else damned and lost. Now, if you're really serious about knowledge, wisdom, and understanding about figuring out if your pastor is real with this, right? He's got to be a man of knowledge. A man of God's got to be a man of knowledge. He got to know something, right? Okay? So, I'll tell you what. Take your butt to a library. Pick out some key pertinent questions about other philosophies and other religious systems, right? About the other prophets that came to other people, other cultures, other civilizations. Ask about their doctrines. Ask about their rituals, right? And I'm pretty sure he'll know about it. You know why? Because he said that his religion is the only true religion and everybody else going to hell and they saved and everybody else burning in hell. So he got to know about what the hell he's talking about is false, right? Right? He got to know. Otherwise, he'd be a fool too to speak on something he don't know nothing about. Right? But I tell you what, when you ask him this stuff, I bet you $100 he won't know jack crap. Won't know nothing. Won't know a damn thing. Won't know nothing. All he know is what Massa told him. Yeah, get the pig foot out your mouth, punk. I'm just keeping this real with you. The pastor don't know damn thing about Brahmanism, Taoism, Buddhism, Hinduism. I mean, I'm just keeping it mundane. I'm talking about just some main philosophies on the planet. I'm just talking about some main ones. He won't know. He will not know. He won't know the ins and outs, the intricacies of them. But yeah, he can talk about how they're damned into going to hell. Could be saying the same thing your religion talking about, your Christianity. They could be. But you never know that, you know why? Because the pastor told your dumbass, right, that this is it, that's all, no more, no less, don't bother with nothing else, right? And you bought a hook, line, and sinker, and now you a fool too. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You can get mad all you want, punk. But, I mean, dang, man. There is the belief manifested in the Crusades and the Roman conquest of Europe and European conquest of America, etc., that it is our mandate from God to Christianize the heathens, even if this means slaughtering them. Now, black folks, you know, really this show is universal, man. And I'm just anti-ignorance. But, you know, it's funny how black folks have been duped for so long. You know, and we go ahead and exemplify this behavior, this bigotry, when it was perpetrated upon us in the 15 and 1600s through the missionaries coming over, enslaving and colonizing black folks. Because if you have not figured it out by now, black folks did not come over to America as Christians. You had Muslims, Hebrew Israelites, which that's not Christian, whether you want to believe it or not, that's not Christianity, okay? That's what you would call original Christianity, not this watered down, not this Romanized church that you have today. Because whether y'all want to believe it or not, all churches, whether they be Methodist, Baptist, blah, blah, all stemmed out of the Roman Catholic Church. All broke down. So what Isa did, late Islam, 2,000 years ago, does not have anything to do with today's church. Now, you got black folks, right, who were basically victims of Christian bigotry because they were something other than themselves. They were animists. They were Hebrew Israelite. They were Muslims. They were not Christians. They get over here all of a sudden, now they Christian. Okay? Everything they were, everything they knew, erased. They were made to forget about all that. They said, you're heathen, you're not right. We're going to save your souls. And I tell you what, black men, we're going to use slavery to save you. You know, it's diabolical how they did it, man. They said slavery is a favor to black people. And we shall use slavery, the institution, to teach you how to be good Christians. Especially while we hang and lynch your black ass. Okay, and you better not fight back because God said, well, that's another show, we've already hit on that. So, Christian bigotry is some other, right, the holier than thou attitude, talking about you're going to save somebody, or you're going to, take them to a church so they can get saved, therefore implying that they lost, but you yourself, you lost in the damn sauce yourself. You don't know nothing. You got a lot of nerve. And then, you know, of course, and what really kills me is this concept of the Christian right, you know, because America has no morals now. It's going downhill. It's going down the toilet. We must return to traditional Christian values to save America. Well, I tell you what, man, you know, when America was at its so-called moral heyday, when it was at its most religious, so they say, during the 1700s, 1800s, you was lynching and castrating and hanging my ancestors. So I tell you what, you can take that moral heyday, you can shove it up your ass. I'm not trying to go back there. You can scratch that. When America was at its moral heyday, right? When America was at its most religious in the 1700s and 1800s, that's when they were perpetrating the most inhuman and cruel deeds upon fellow human beings. You know what I mean? Do you see what I'm saying? It's all about perspective. Yeah, it's all about history. It's all about reading and actually seeing true history. That's what it's about. Y'all don't hear me though, man. Y'all don't hear, because I'm, you know, it's that crazy Negro on TV again. But right now I want to give shout outs, man. I want to tell y'all I'm about to roll up out of here. And I want to tell, you know, whoever you may be, whether, you know, Christian, Muslim, Jew, black, white, male, female, whatever, that I'm really a swell guy, man. You know, you got to get to know me. Right, yeah, get to know Big Mike, man. I'm not such a monster, man. You know, but there's some things that need to be addressed on the show, and a lot of people don't want to address them, but I will. And you can, you know, you can believe that. So, I'm about to sign up out of here, man, because you know, it's just that time. Time to go. I bid everybody peace, love, and happiness, and all that stuff. Ready?
Yes, 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 it's the flow. Come on and get in. It's like this, y'all. Come on. Get on down in. Step out. I feel the rhythm of the gods, I think that's enough said. Terrible verbs, abnormal phrases filling my head. I get down and I spit it to the kick. Ready for the sound and the surge of lyrics with pure funk data. You know that brother will advance to enhance sound wave matter. Directly from the bowels of the verb, making you swerve to the triple stink funk. Up on the downstroke, instruct the center. Cosmic storm and shogun merge and mend up. Brother standing on the verge, when one throws in the Dead Sea flows than I'll ever need. Like Letterman, I'm switching up the lingo. Context, lyric mandingo. Swinging to the next level groove. The rhythm is flex, is the world of your poo. I come to flip it on up, cause the power's beyond to possess and toes up. You know I come to get down when more power's in store. I guess it's right about now. Into Bible Magus, center of circumference. Riders hang tight as we bump this. Travel to the chaos, then on back. You know my powers flourish when I hit that boom dap. Now it's time for the score, it's flipped to the tour. It's time for the rhythm from the ones who want more. So I kick it to the west,
while heading to the east. Some niggas understand, so my lyrics don't cease. So one funkin', listen, one, two, let's get down. Copping motherfunkers, still rolling earthbound. When I roll through the streets, I be who I be. So if you'll be you, then I'll be me. I'm not the czar or the pope, priest or the man, not the sparkle rap star or the sippy dope man. You won't disrespect, though, which you can't detect. You know what I'm saying? Use your intellect. I got spirits rolling deep. Just let it seep. Enough funk voodoo in the dark sun treatments. I represent the enough God sent. When they hand me the device, I leave it quite bent up. Drowning in my tonin smoke. Enter and exit like gorillas and fish. My flames and light brethren while my foes are dish. Dissect and devour, then detour and dismiss. Won't you come along as we funk down to this? You're a gorilla boogie, so make me prejudice. Descended to the valley and I trained in the mist. Table of many brothers, so you know I won't miss. Clear cut wicked, so you must understand. World much deeper than the simple mortal man. I'm standing, standing on the verge. Now what's up? You know I come to get down with more powers in store. The dark sun's in the house. Yes, yes, yes. Give it up, 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 give